Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello, Benoons. What's going on, baby? The whole city's on fire. You doing okay over there?
Yeah, it's wild. It's really scary. You know, if you watched yesterday's episodes that we put up, Southern Hospitality and Below Deck Med, you can probably see on the video, there were a few times when we were recording where I whipped my head to the right and looked out my window because the wind has been blowing furiously through the city, and it's really scary. And obviously it has fueled these horrific forest fires wildfires. The sky is orange and black. The city is on edge. It's really, really, really scary. I'm just, you know, I feel so terrible for all the people and animals and pets and everyone who's been displaced and lost their homes and their businesses. It's yeah. really terrible. I am, I'm really, you know, happy that your place is okay. But gosh, it was really surreal watching this episode of Beverly Hills last night. Like watching, it opens up with Bose sitting on the beach in looks like Malibu or somewhere. But like while watching that, while simultaneously on the news, that beach is on fire, or like that highway, the street, the houses, they were on fire. It was really, really surreal. You know, and I also hope that like, you know, our cast members on the show are okay and everything. I mean, as well as everyone else, just cause they're, you know, they're still humans. But it's, yeah, it's wild. It's really, really scary. I hope people are listeners who are impacted by it. I hope that they're okay too. I mean, honestly, this severe weather this extreme weather is a real problem. You know, it's wildfires today. It's flooding in North Carolina a few months ago. Like it's an issue.
In Texas, there's shit going on in Texas too.
Texas like, freezing
over. Both
of
my states.
This is this.
Like I got both the states going through the drums. What the
this
hell,
extreme
man?
Weather is a problem, and for people who are like looking the other way, or who are just like, oh, whatever. Like you have to look at the signs. They're there. I mean, you know, be biblical about it, and you know, see what's happening. Okay.
So. No thanks. I've got enough of that around me. Jesus Christ! That's the last thing I'm going to do is get biblical on this shit.
The point is this:
Gomorrah over there.
Let's not dismantle the EPA. How about that? Because things are fucked. Things are really, really fucked, and people are losing their lives and their homes. And you know, we have to pay attention to this shit.
Well, yeah, it's really scary. I hope everybody's taking care of themselves over there. We're sending you our love and our friends, you know, love, you know, because it's you see stuff like this pretty much all the time in the news, it seems like, just tragedy after tragedy. But, you know, when it's in your city, it's like, God damn, it's like up close, you know, but yeah. It's going on all over the world constantly now. And it's kind of like a just fuck time in general. Well, anyway, welcome 2025.
Yeah, welcome.
So we're going to do what we do best, in both here and our personal lives, which is just laugh at things because that's how I cope. Okay.
Yeah. Luckily it was a great episode of Beverly Hills.
So we're here doing that. Please come. We are also doing the Golden Crappies soon, February 1st, in New York City, on Broadway. Come hell or high water, literally.
Yeah.
You know, both. It's not even a figure of speech at this point. We will be there. We will do it. We have done this when there have been cars floating down the street from other severe weather in Los Angeles. Remember that one?
The blizzard.
So we're no stranger. One time we were in New York, there was that fucking stud blizzard or whatever they call it.
Bomb cyclone or something.
The bomb cyclone that was like shutting down the city and it shut down our Jersey show. We still did it. We will be there, damn it. So will you. Get over there. We're at Town Hall. On February 1st. We also start our tour in like 2 weeks, I think, at San Francisco and San Diego. So that's right before the Crappies. That's good. Those are going to be great shows. So come to those. And then right after the Crappies, we have Salt Lake City and Denver. So get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. If you like video, we are on video every day now at Patreon. That's also where you get our bonuses. This week, we are going to start traders bonuses over on El Patreon. So join us for that. And what's the other thing we have to say? Oh, voting is now open for the Crappies. So go do prelim voting. Get your nominations in. You can find that at our website or at Instagram. Watch What Crappens on Instagram.
Yeah.
So let's get into a little Beverly Hills action. What do you think?
Yeah,
there,
let's
man?
Do it. Let's do it. It's a big feisty episode. So we are seeing things around the city and then some. We're at Garcelle's house and Garcelle is like marveling that her son Jade
but herself she's marveling at herself. It's another Garcelle.
When I started this, it was only me. I've got a beach house.
It was a very, very Garcelle proud episode, but she should be. She has a lot of stuff to be proud of. And she's sitting there with her gorgeous child looking at his modeling pictures. And she's like, look at you, a model. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, you know, when I started, there was Iman. There's Beverly Johnson and Naomi Campbell. And he's like, I don't know these people. I was like, okay, you know what, sir? You can leave the room now. You can leave. Okay. Okay.
Get out of here.
You don't know Naomi Campbell? And she's an active model. I mean, I think they all are, but she's still like modeling a lot. Sir.
That's like a young person going into the tire changing and oil change business and being like, I don't know who Pet Boy is. How dare you?
Yeah.
Make an effort. Yeah. Okay. Learn things. Learn from your history. Model history is very important. I mean, to some people, just like every other kind of history, damn it. Learn your history, sir.
Please do. And then we go to Dorit's house where Dorit.
But notice that she didn't say Uba. I'm just pointing that out because in our next recap of New York, that's going to come up.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wish. Iman, Naomi, they wish. So, yeah, she didn't mention Uba either. So she's going to be in some trouble.
So then we go to Dorit's house and Jagger is there. She's watching Jagger. She's with Jagger watching Phoenix, and Phoenix is doing a little ballet, performance. And Jagger's like, if I tried spinning like that, I would be throwing up right now. Better try sleeping with your father. Oh, sorry. I'm just in a raw state right now.
Have you ever seen your father trying on bathing suits? Now that's a real bath-worthy event. Jeez.
Well, Phoenix is, her pirouettes are great. I mean, she's just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And it's really great.
She's like, you're like a little Baryshnikov. Who?
Get the fuck out of here, Phoenix. All right? You had me for 2 seconds. Goddamn ingrates on this show.
Uneducated people. Uneducated youth. So then we go to Sutton's house. And Sutton's like, hey, Ovs, can you come help me? This closet needs a lot of help. And he just like arrives around the corner very seriously. And like, it's like, doom. There's like a lightning strike. She's like, wow, you're like a character out of a scary movie. How'd you get here so fast? He's like, I was around the corner.
By the way, you also are like a character from a scary movie.
So yes.
Like, and that too. Y'all, let's just get along. We're sisters.
Fuck you. I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
I was like, whoa, Sutton. Reel it in, lady. So then we go to the Malibu Pier, and it's a Bose scene. We don't get many of those. So this is a Bose scene, and she's on a date. And I'm extremely stressed out by this date because she's on a date with a guy who's also like very successful and driven. And they talk like very successful, driven people. And they're very goal oriented. And they're like, what's our goals? That's terrifying. My goal is to get through the fucking day. Okay. My goal is not to die of high blood pressure or eat a tub of ice cream out of some misery I haven't gotten over from kindergarten. Okay. That's what I'm dealing with, sir. Can we not talk about our trusts and our goals? My goal is just to live.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that's a good goal. So then they.
Thank you.
They,
thank you for the valley.
Yeah. Your feelings are valid, Ronnie. So.
Thank you.
So then they go, they sit at this like beach setup, and Bose is saying that they've been dating for several months, and they're popping open some champagne, and there's some charcuterie, and there's roses, and she's like, he is thoughtful and kind and romantic. I like the weight of him. Like, he's a man. A man. A man. I invented man, by the way. People think it was Adam invented Eve. No, I invented Adam.
I've copyrighted man. He's a man. Yeah, she's very... I started feeling offended, which I don't know why. I think that says something about my own masculinity insecurity. But when she's like, he's a man. You know what I mean? A man. I was like, I guess... I don't think anyone's ever said that. I don't think anyone's ever been like, wow, I went on a date with Ronnie. What a man.
Yeah.
You know, a man. Now, people have been like, I've been on a date with Ronnie. He's really terrified of dying of blood pressure diseases by the end of the day. It's super weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he paid for dinner. So.
That's a, you know, you were a man in that moment.
Yeah. I'm a Chipotle date, but still.
So... Bose is saying that Keely and I are in a long-distance relationship. He lives in San Diego and I live in Los Angeles. And then he pops open some champagne and she's like, so we have to spice things up by talking every single day, multiple times a day, specifically about spicy things. I'll call him up and I'll say jalapeno and he'll say serrano and I'll say goodbye. And then 5 minutes later, I'll say ghost pepper and he'll say Carolina Reaper and I'll say goodbye. Keep it spicy.
So it's like, so to another date together and to our business endeavors.
Shut up. I want a business endeavor. And she's like, And he's like, that's one thing I really love about our dynamic. It goes beyond the looks, you know? It goes into jalapeno peppers as well.
Spicy.
And she's like, oh, you know, but the looks are looking, you know? Looks are important. What do you think about that? Looks may not be everything, but looks are here, baby. Looks are here.
He's like, yeah, yeah. Well, now here's a question. One of the things I want to make sure of is that we stay aligned. What would you like from a relationship?
Oh, gosh, it's a hard question, you know? I mean, let me think. Like an Anaheim chili pepper? Not that spicy, so maybe not that.
So she tells us that her relationship should have kept her from every other relationship. And then we see her clip of telling the girls about her relationship. That it was, I guess she was just telling Erica. But she was like, well, in my last relationship, I was completely lied to. I said, are you cheating on me? And he said, yes. Liar. And they're like, how dare he tell you? I was like, well, he was honest. I guess the cheating wasn't honest. But he didn't lie to you about the cheating. So he's at least got a 50% scorecard going on. Do you have his number?
You know, I mean, it was a disaster. Liar, cheater, name it, he got it. So she says, remember on our first...
Serrano pepper. No, he didn't have that.
He did actually. Not have that.
All right, actually. Name something else. Let's keep playing.
He had a red bell pepper, which was the exact opposite of what I wanted. So remember, Keely, on our first call when you said to me you didn't want any pretense? If you want to call me, call me. I appreciated that. You wanted a level of honesty that I didn't feel that other people would necessarily say out loud. And he's like... He's like, and vice versa, babe. And if I knew something wasn't going to work, I have no problem being a friend. And that's it. And just keep it moving.
So we find out that she really likes his consistency. But the biggest detail that we find out is that she likes details, you know, because yes. He'll be like, I'm at the gym. And she's like, he's doing some reps. That's what I love to hear. Reps. Give me all the information. And that's what she likes. She just likes taking in data.
Yes, she does. I mean, she is from corporate America, and the data is really big over there. So, then they start talking about, like, marriage. Because she's, like, saying, do you ever consider that you are dating for marriage? And he's like, yeah, that's the only reason why I date. You know, and they're just talking about that sort of stuff. And then he gives her a raspberry, and she's like, was that to shut me up because it was not a spicy raspberry? And he's like, no, it just looked like you wanted a raspberry. You had kind of a raspberry forward look on your face at that moment.
And she said, well, where are we in the process of marriage anyway? And he's like, I knew you were going to ask that. I felt that question. That question came right out of our thoughts and into my head. It's me and you. So that's where we are. Okay, I don't trust him. There, I said it. Yeah. I don't trust him. He's too smooth talking. And that came out of your head and into my brain. I don't trust it.
Yeah, it is a little Svengali-ish, huh?
Yeah, but it's also kind of L.A., though. But he's from San Diego. So I don't know, because that's her other thing, is that they're long distance because he's from San Diego and she's from L.A. So I don't know. That sounds great to me. Like a every other weekend kind of a guy sounds like heaven to me, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, TBD on him. I also thought he was like a little cheesy, but who knows? Who knows? I mean, the thing is this. It's not such a wild prediction that these, like, I think almost every single guy who's come on to these shows to romance a lady has wound up being scum. So, you know, that's probably.
Yeah, I'm not like, going to go as far as scum. Like, I'm not getting scum, but I'm getting very, you know, no one talks like that in their everyday life. So you have to, like, with people who talk like that, you have to, like, tire them out like a little kid with a lot of energy running around the room screaming. You're not going to get anything done until you tire them out. You know what I mean? And I feel like you have to tire out that kind of talking until you see the real person underneath. Mm-hmm. So you've just got to be like, what are your thoughts on the economy? And just let him be like,
well, as long as I've got you, a dollar is still a dollar.
Ding! Yeah. Until he's just exhausted. You know, just like give him reasons to spout platitudes from pop psychology until he's tired, and then we'll see what he's really like. You know?
We need him to
unmask. So, TBD.
Excuse me. So then we go over to the Pally house, and Dorit steps out of her SUV, and then she arrives, and then Erica arrives after her. And Erica's like, well, is it just me or do I feel like I'm in a lounge? Like, why do I feel this way? And she's like, I know, it does. Dorit has no idea what Erica's talking about. It totally feels like a lounge, even though it's clearly a restaurant.
So she's like, thank God for Erica and thank God for my parents, because I felt like I didn't know how much longer I could hold on the walls up on my own, and they came to my rescue.
And then we see a clip of her parents coming to town to take care of stuff. And she's like,
listen, Erica, today was the day of Phoenix's ballet show. She was the lead. So I threw a pie in her face. What happens to leads in these shows. As you know, it's my stint in Peter Pan in London.
That's pretty amazing. And so then the server comes over and Dorit does the classic. I'll do a Belvedere, club soda, short glass, three lemons squeezed in really well. And let's be wild. Carcass in. I was whole cub salad. In the drink, please.
I'm a new woman now. Leave the carcass in.
So
and make the carcass PK. I'm sorry, was that too dark?
And the server is like, hey, good choice. Fuck off. I don't need your approval. Get my three lemons. Right. Now, does she mean three whole lemons? I've never asked you this because that's a lot of lemons.
I think she just means wedges. She should articulate that, though, because three whole lemons, you have a different cocktail at that point. At that point, you're just having lemon, you like a lemon Belvedere.
Yeah, I put a whole lemon in my tahini dressing last week, and it was disgusting. It was way too much lemon. So I'm like, she must mean wedges, but then wedges are all different sizes depending on where you go. So make the math make sense.
Specificity, you know, data.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hello, ladies and gerbs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like Jon Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the Children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
They say Hollywood is where dreams are made. A seductive city where many flock to get rich, be adored, and capture America's heart. But when the spotlight turns off, fame, fortune, and lives can disappear in an instant. When TV producer Roy Radin was found dead in a canyon near LA in 1983, there were many questions surrounding his death. The last person seen with him was Lainey Jacobs, a seductive cocaine dealer. who desperately wanted to be part of the Hollywood elite. Together, they were trying to break into the movie industry. But things took a dark turn when $1 million worth of cocaine and cash went missing. From Wondery comes a new season of the hit show Hollywood and Crime, The Cotton Club Murder. Follow Hollywood and Crime, The Cotton Club Murder on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Cotton Club Murder early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So then Erica's, they toast to Phoenix's ballet, and Dorit's like, "So, when it comes to the kids, I've told you this a million times, and even though I'm so hurt and angry, I can literally compartmentalize my feelings for my children." And Erica goes, "Well, for the moment, you took the words right out of my mouth."
I love Erica. I love Erica sitting here trying to be positive, but if you really listen to everything out of her mouth, it's not really positive. She's like, "Oh, I can compartmentalize
for the moment, yeah," which means, "Oh yeah, wait till you're locked outside your house just trying to get back in to get a 30-year-old rug out of the bathroom, bitch."
But I also like all she says is "for the moment," and she's, "You took the words right out of my mouth." <It's>
like, "Well, Monday, we're supposed to meet in the Ruppy, and it's the first droppy we'll have together."
"Oh, because you haven't been talking, right? Except through Kyle Richards, who talks to him." "Oops, did I say that part out loud? Sorry."
"I don't want to be spoken to in a certain way." "That's it. Can I take your lunch orders?" "Fuck off! How dare you?"
"Carcass out, after all."
So Dorit says, "When I talk about PK and I getting toxic, he would speak to me in a very aggressive, disrespectful way. And I would do the same, but in a different accent."
"One time the fight got so bad that I just kept saying bathroom in different languages."
"Banyos? Bidet?
Bathroom? Bathroom. That's how you say it in Paris.
Bathroom, mama?" I don't know what language that's from, but I think it's somewhere vaguely near Tajikistan.
So we see PK and her having dinner. This is when he said, "If a server came over and we spoke to the server how we speak to each other, we'd be thrown out of this restaurant and I'd be grabbing this side of chips with me. And they couldn't let me lose grasp of it no matter how hard they tried."
"I wish you'd try that hard for our marriage, PK."
"Our marriage has never been this delicious. Could you please pass the hollandaise?"
"I don't want to live like that anymore." So she says, "I'm not at a place yet where I know I am totally done with him."
"No, and you don't have to be, as long as he is sober, because what were you saying about him? He's a raging alcoholic."
"Yes."
100% raging, all in alcoholic, all in. "He's so into being an alcoholic, he went to an AA meeting. He took all the chips from the other people and ate them with some cream cheese." "Awful day.
He's such an alcoholic that he's just an alcoholic. I don't really have an end to that."
"The worm from the bottom of the tequila bottle tried to drink him."
"He's such an alcoholic that Sky Vodka's like, we should call you Space Vodka because you're higher up than us." I'm not very good at this, Erica. I'm not very good at this. Why?
So Erica's like, "Yeah, you don't have to, but listen, as long as he's sober, you gotta be nice to him. Have you seen us on television? That's just how it is. If someone says they're sober, you gotta be nice to him. It's called the victim cloak. All right, Ronnie came up with the term. Give him credit. Trademark it. All right, he's wearing it right now. So you can't slam the door on his face with a sober person. So listen, if you really need to get him out of there, just put a little pill or something in his next orange juice. He'll be not sober, and you can treat him however you want to."
"By the way, speaking of really intense moments, I mean, last night..."
"Oh, yeah, you were on fire last night. You dropped that C word."
And we get a flashback to, like, what feels like 10 weeks ago on this show, because it was off for 3 weeks, of Dorit yelling at Camille, "You are a total cut fitness to me, and you know why." And then Camille's like, "Oh, yeah, well, you called me a fucking cut fitness the first night I bought my, I forget what I bought. Mauricio, can you help me?"
"I called you a stupid cut fitness, not a fucking cut fitness."
And Garcelle's, "Damn.
Wow.
Which is an upgrade from her wow.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was so good, you saying the C word. Well, I have been too forgiving for too long, and I allowed people to mistake my kindness for weakness. Oh, I just think they mistaken your kindness for stupidity, but that's okay. And when were you kind again?
Oh, well, it's better than having them mistake your money for strength or whatever else they've been doing this past 20 years.
And Dorit's like, well, that's it, what Sutton said. And Erica goes like, oh, no, hell no, that girl's not even sober. You don't have to be nice to her. Get her, Dorit, drag her, Dorit. And then we see a flashback to Sutton saying, listen, you are angry and you are not angry at me. You are angry at your life.
Which, by the way, it's harsh, but I think that Sutton's right. And that creates, that makes Garcelle go, oh. So she, ooh. Big night for me. I said, damn.
I'm sorry, everybody. I leave my wow in the trunk. So I've just got a oh today.
Does anyone have anything incredulous to say? Because I would love to let out a what?
What?
No. No.
No.
No.
Well, she revealed exactly how far she would go, which is making a kind of hurtful statement, maybe.
And Dorit's like, it's just so opposite to, what is it?
Sisterhood. It's opposite to the sisterhood. It's opposite to the sisterhood.
Sisterhood.
Sisterhood. Sisterhood.
Sisterhood. Banyo. Bathroom. Bathroom.
Listen, it's all about openness. You don't kick a girl when they're down, you know?
And Erica says,
unless that Lisa Vanderpump, that shit was funny.
Well, even Denise Richards. You know, look at Sutton has mistreated myself at the lowest time in my life. She then moved on to Kyle, and now she's kicking Dorit at the lowest point in her life. It's bullshit.
I'm like, but also very funny. It's great for us.
Look, I don't disagree with Erica here. I think that Sutton is horrible to people at the worst times in their lives. But guess who else was the worst to you at the lowest time in your life? Literally everybody on the show put you on the stand and questioned you nonstop and suggested you give back that ring or everything else that you're mad at Sutton about. Everybody else did too. Why are you only mad at Sutton?
Mommy issues.
Well, also, you have this inner core of cast members on this show that love to preach about be open and honest, say how you feel, stop dancing around the bush or whatever, beating around the bush, you know, be honest. And then Sutton's like, all right, I'll be honest. This is how I feel about you right now. And they're like, how could you say that? I'm at the worst part. I am at the going through the worst time of my life, and you're going to be so unkind to me. So it's like, well, what do you want? Do you want open and honesty, or do you want just more of the Beverly Hills bullshit?
And also, since when can you only be nice to people, or since when can you only criticize people who are happy? I don't think that's how it works. Also, there was a comment that was like, Ronnie, you're projecting your mommy issues onto Erica. She doesn't have mommy issues. No. I'm very well aware of my mommy issues. My mommy issues are in a completely separate theater, okay? My having mommy issues doesn't mean that other people don't have mommy issues, okay? You can still go to the other theater and watch mine if you want. They're out there. They're playing. They've been playing on here for fucking 13 years. Go on. Watch them if you want to. I still stand by it. Yeah, so I then Garcelle drives her kid.
No,
what's that?
No, I'm just going to back you up. I think that Erica definitely has mommy issues. I think that. And
she's just a little older Southern woman who's always on Erica's ass. You know what I mean?
That's definitely what Sutton is to Erica. Also, by the way, is it better to kick someone when they're at the lowest point of their life? Or is it better to kick someone when they're riding high? I mean, I guess you shouldn't kick anyone anytime. But I think if I'm riding high,
please.
If you're down, you're already down.
We're watching kickboxing. We're watching emotional kickboxing, okay? Like, you can't, but that's why Erica's standing up for these rules. Like,
you can't kick someone when they're accused of stealing diamond earrings. It should be theirs in the first place. I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
Well, I mean, also, everything that Erica is saying is just, it's just a not so subtle way of saying, like, I still want an apology from all you bitches for what you put me through. I mean, we saw her literally talking to her therapist about it. She wants her pizza party. So everything that fuels
her pizza party, man.
Yeah, she's just building her case.
You know, I give Erica a lot of shit on this show, but I have to say, I would love to have a pizza party for Erica.
We can do it.
We do it.
We'll have a pizza party.
Yeah, I would totally do it.
I would do it.
So, because she's just brought me so much pleasure. You know, well, and in times like these where you're watching things burn and people struggle and stuff, you have to remember, like, these people do a lot of good in our lives. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun to rag on them and call them out when they're wrong. But, you know, sometimes I'm even grateful for Erica.
Well, you know, she did have a really good season last year, and she seems to be doing pretty well this year. So good for her. So Dorit's just saying this has been going on for a year. Like, with Sutton, it's been going on forever. So now we have Garcelle, and she drives her kids. She's got Oliver, she's got OJ Jr., she's got Jade and his girlfriend, Ash, and they go off to her beach house in Oxnard, and we get a bonus tour of the house because it just was not enough last time. So
I was going to say, finally, we're getting a glamorous tour of this beautiful home. Like they've never done it before. It's the third episode, you guys. They've done this. And it's still gorgeous. And it's still glamorous.
Oliver's like, I remember when this was just dirt. I'm like, yeah, it was like 18 months ago. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It was 1923.
That is a beautiful house. And I love the cabinet colors. I just love that house. It's really, really well done. And they've taken that farmhouse thing, which, you know, I'm over that shit, even though I live in it. But I hate that shit now. But she did it in such a nice, tasteful, updated way. Yeah. Love the house. But still, we've already seen it. So move on. So let's talk about, she's like, guys, can you believe I got a beach house? I worked for this. And they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. Which it is. But like, talk about something else now.
Well, so she talks about Oliver. And so as they're eating lunch and everything, and Oliver is feeding food to his kid, doing the whole, like, here comes the airplane. And they're like, oh God, I love the airplane game. So Garcelle talks about,
and people wonder why airplanes crash. Because they're made out of macaroni and cheese.
So Garcelle winds up talking about Oliver and like how far he's come. And it was like a really dark place. And she talks about how he's dealt with addiction, and that she tells a very sad story about one time he like showed up in her backyard, and he was homeless, but his, like, it was Oliver, but it was not Oliver. He was erratic. He was high, and he was trying to get into the pool house, and she was yelling at him to like get away from the pool house. And she basically wouldn't let him inside because she treated him with tough love, and she just like carried so much guilt from that experience. And so she's like, you know, she's like really, she feels really lucky, as she should feel lucky and grateful that Oliver, you know, got through it.
She should, because it does not always end that well. You know what I mean? And so to see him doing so well is nice. You know, it's like a touching scene. But then that kind of is ruined when she's like, you know, he was going through a rough time, but then he's okay. Then he became okay and named his child OJ. And I was like, I'm not going to be okay with that. Still not going to. There's no time that I'm going to be okay with that name choice. Like, even if, like, back in the day it was fine, it's not. Just change it. Oliver. Oliver.
How about, like, O2? Like Oliver the Second. Maybe not OJ.
Oliver 2. Yeah. Oliver James, you know? Just. So it's actually a really nice scene. I'm just being a bitch because that's what I do. But it's a nice scene. And then they pray. And then we go over to Dorit's house. And we see pictures of Dorit and PK when they were in love. When Dorit did some boudoir shots and dressed like a package of sour cream and onion lays.
So she's washing fruit. And she's like, Mommy, the peaches that you got are, oh, so yummy. What artisanal farm stand did you find here in Los Angeles that sold such delicious peaches? She's like, Costco. Oh, what is that? Oh, Costco. PK calls that the Pringles machine place. Okay, got it. Pringles in bulk. I've never seen him get such a big erection.
Do you mean the hot dog yum yum factory?
So Bose shows up. And they go out to the back, and Dorit is like, they sit out there, and Bose is talking about how she's like, I love Dorit. Dorit is fashionable. She is bubbly. She's like a nice Thai chili. She gives a lot of detail in her stories, though. A lot. But I like to, but Dorit likes to talk, and I like to listen.
Yeah, that sounds like a perfect friendship to me. You know, you got to find your lid. You know, that's my lid. Just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my lid in real life is for them to talk more. I think I'm more like Bose in real life.
Maybe that's why you talk more on here. If you're listening.
Yeah, I talk a lot on here, but then in real life, I'm like, entertain me, please. So that's why I'm friends with super dramatic people who always have some kind of drama going on. You know, it's like turning on a TV.
That's our rule as like sweet little gay boys, is to listen and create a nice environment. And then what we really want to say, we go onto a podcast and then we really unleash there.
Yeah. God, this gay passive aggression is the most fabulous passive aggression.
It's the best guy. All of the best world. Brand.
I'm proud to be an owner of it.
Yes.
So, yeah, Bose comes and the dogs are barking and she's like, Weenie, Pumpkin. I love the names of those dogs. Winnie, the sad dog, and Pumpkin is going to get eaten one day, you know. So she gets to meet the parents, Rachel and Shalom. And she's like, what a pleasure. What a pleasure to meet you. What'd you do today? Details, details. Rice cups for breakfast, anything? Anybody? Give me an answer. Oh, we've had a nice day. All right, you're dead to me. Get out. I need more details from those people. They're fired.
We went to Costco. Okay, that's more like it. What'd you find there? Did you get any socks?
We did.
All right. Kirkland, right?
Yes.
Oh, good. More details. More details.
There was a backup in aisle 4.
Oh, goodness. What kind of box did you pile your groceries in? One of the weird apple juice boxes things that only held 3 things? Or one of those tall egg boxes? Come on. Tell me every single detail.
I made a toot by the chicken stand. All right. You're officially my mother now. I'm taking your parents. Details 1.
So they go out back, and Dorit's like, if I look back, it's to make sure the doors are closed. And I was like, oh, wow, that PTSD is really, it really is haunting her. She goes, because, you know, I haven't told my children about the situation. I'm like, oh, okay. So she's like, Bose is like, girl, we got to talk about all of that. She goes, well, you know, PK and I, we had a 4-hour therapy session on Monday. I mean, most of it was him trying to park the car and then scouring the office building for a vending machine, and after 3 hours, he did somehow come in with a Mars bar, but, you know, that still counts as a 4-hour therapy session in my book.
And he came in very much like coming into Biddle. So much so, in therapy, he throws out, this is why I want a divorce, and I don't want to be married to this woman. That's the first time I've heard it.
Oh my God, how did we get here?
Yes, exactly. No, I'm trying to remember. How did I actually drive to your house? Was it the 101 or was it the 405? Just need all these details.
It was hard to see because the maps, for some reason, when I was driving, it was showing me pointed in the opposite direction. Does anybody know how to fix that?
What's even the point of that mode? So Dorit's like, I just feel blindsided. Boom! There's a bomb. A bomb that blindsided me. I was walking and there it was. A bomb. A bomb that, well, actually, it wasn't so much a blindside because we'd already separated and we were on the path to divorce. And so it was more like I saw the bomb and I stepped on it and I was like, oh, a bomb. But either way, we were so amicable a few weeks ago when he said he didn't want to talk to me anymore. The whiplash is just so hard to take.
So this is the first time she's heard it, which I have a hard time believing, seeing them. Like, we just saw a flashback of them back at lunch, you know. But she said that PK stormed out of the office, slammed the door, and she walked out of that therapy session and she thought, oh no, I need to start preparing. So now she's like, now I need to plan, like I'm going to battle against this fucker.
Yeah.
Which I was like, yes, Dorit, thank God. It's so good to hear that, you know, because I think oftentimes it's like you have to cry first. You have to like get that whole like 6 months of crying out of the way and then you're ready to go to battle. And Dorit's like, no, fuck this.
But
we're going to battle.
And I believe PK is going to be crafty and he's going to be vicious. So she does have to get all her ducks in a row.
Well, in this, I don't think it's money. I don't think there's money there. I think the only money coming in probably, like he gets a pit. I mean, how much is Boy George making right now? You know, so that's 15%. And then Dorit's got Beverly Hills, which she's been on for a long time. So I'm sure exactly. That's a good paycheck. So she's the one with the money. So yeah,
that's
right
what
now it's like. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even just the money. A lot of times it's honestly just a power play. I think that like, I don't know. I wouldn't trust PK for 1 second, and she needs to lawyer up. Lawyer up.
Yes. Agreed. So she's like, wow, what a story. So you know what we should talk about? You and Kyle. I was very shocked with the interaction you had with Camille. And she's like, oh, well, that's been a long time coming, me love.
Girl, that was a lot. And we see a flashback to that. And Camille saying, oh, they have to wait for hours for you to show up at events.
For 2 hours because you're not coming to the events. Because instead of coming to the events, you're taking photo shoots.
Photo shoots. So
you're trying to say that you put them on hold.
You put them on hold. It's so upsetting. And Dorit goes, who's them? She goes, your friends. P-
people, your other DDs. I have my DD, you have your DDs, you make all your DDs wait.
And I like that she's like, what are you even doing here, Camille?
You have your friends on hold.
Do you need a moment? Do you need a moment, Camille?
Which is good, to seeing her hand Camille her ass. Which we'll see you next season, Camille.
I know.
You just keep getting tries, girl. You just keep coming back. So Bose is like, well, I'm not sure why Kyle invited Camille to the party. Why was she there? And she's like, not the first time, me love. Not the first. Which is so true. And it's exactly. So good to see Bose be able to clock that in 2 seconds. Something that most of the audience and definitely this cast has not been able to clock in how many years is this? 12? 13 years.
It's a long time.
Is how Kyle sneaky ass does stuff like this. Like, I hate Camille. Don't ever speak to Camille unless I need Camille to yell at somebody that I don't like right now.
Yeah, that's exactly. Because Camille has been dirty to Kyle too. And Kyle's like, that's enough, Camille. Or she'll pretend like she hates Camille. And then she always invites Camille when she needs Camille to humiliate someone for her.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Dorita's like, yes, well, she not only did she invite Camille, but she deliberately didn't tell me she was going to be there. And Bose is like, oh, no. So, there's a lot of things in the past I kept my mouth closed about. A lot of things that bothered me. It's those things that have brought me here to where I am. It's my little chaps. That's why I'm fed up.
And so Bose says, it really hurt my feelings when she said to you that I don't remember what, I'm paraphrasing. You're angry at your life, that's what she said. Really?
It's like, yes, that. And so Bose is like, these women just always find a minute to go at each other. They will always find an excuse. They're at a party, they'll find a reason to fight. It's almost like looking at something in the air. If they see it, they'll grab it out of the air. And they'll say, stab you with it, you know? And yeah. She's like, oh, my God, this is just disgusting. Did you watch this show?
Yeah. Wait. You're the one who comes from corporate America. This should be just like nothing for you. So
yeah,
she's like, stick a knife in one when someone's down. That's the kind of person Sutton is. And Bose is like, well, that's the hard part of friendship and being vulnerable, you know, because on one hand, if she says, hey, look, I'm here for you, I want to help you any way possible, then you open up and you're vulnerable and you tell her things, and then she takes them and weaponizes them and stabs you in the back. That shit is terrible.
I feel like if Sutton was doing that, that would be terrible. But I don't think Sutton took something that Dorit said and stabbed her in the back with it. Do you? Saying you're angry with your life isn't really. It's just like, what are you yelling at me at? You're not yelling at me. You're projecting.
Yes, exactly. That's a much friendlier way to say what Sutton said. But Dorit's just in a place where she is just going to get set off by everything.
Well, and also Sutton's so bad at it, you know, like she's so bad. She really doesn't. And they call her out for this all this episode. But Sutton's like sisterhood thing is such bullshit because she's the one who's always having a fit and losing her temper and crying and running out of things. So, I mean, I do see that Sutton's a huge hypocrite. I mean, I will say that. But I just think in this case, I don't think what Sutton said is that bad. But maybe it's because there are so many worse times that we can compare this to with shit that's come out of Sutton's mouth that I'm like, that's nothing. What are you complaining about?
Yeah.
At least it wasn't like when you were robbed and she was like, whatever, we all have problems.
Yeah.
Whatever.
She's like, my fashion designer's plane was late.
My fashion designer got stuck in France.
Yeah. So, we now hear Trixie Monocle, who's like, they thought they claw like animals, eat out your heart like cannibals. At one point I had my valuables and they never look like me. What?
They can never look like me, she says. They're all so jealous. They fight. They claw like animals. They eat out your heart like cannibals. At one point, I had my valuables. They can never look like me. It's like, wow, cannibals and robbery.
Wow.
That's a lot going on in one song. Did Trixie sober up? Because Trixie used to be two words, and now Trixie's coming in with fucking monologues put to music.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's the perfect way.
Sobriety's not for everybody.
No. It's the perfect way, though, to set up the return of Martin Lawrence Ballard here on Bravo Television. Martin Lawrence Ballard, who we know and love from Million Dollar Decorators, which was a wonderful show on Bravo that was gone too soon. So he has come over to Erica's house to for a consult because she
wants to turn this tiny little hovel, this shanty, this shack, into a sanctuary. This $1.8 million shack. Please make it somehow livable. It's such a, it's like I'm every night, I'm just living in my, sleeping in my beautiful, beautiful down bed. It's in this,
there
my pool,
a
my cabana.
On a cloud.
She's like, here, come on in, Martin. I've made some porridge. That's all I can have here in this million-dollar house.
Well, nice to see you, Erica.
Nice to meet you.
Martin, pleasure. Wait, I'm sorry. It's Martin. Pleasure.
It's like, oh, you look fabulous.
Well, thank you.
Well, come on inside.
You don't look too bad yourself.
So,
Martin Lawrence Blood, one of the top interior designers in the world, has agreed to meet with me and give me the shithole a little lift.
Now, I was a little awkward at first because I thought I was reaching out to Martin Lawrence, the comedian, but hey, I'll take this guy too. I love the gays.
So, do you know Shanaynay?
No, I'm not that Martin.
Does the phrase damn Gina mean anything to you?
Are we talking about Gina Davis? Well, I have said damn Gina. I said, Gina Davis, stop peeing on the lawn that I've just had installed into your backyard.
Oh, that's good enough for me.
So,
I must tell you, I am a fan of your work.
And he talks about how he's done all these famous people's houses like Cher and Pink and Khloe Kardashian. And he's like,
well, I brought you my book, Fabulous Gays Interiors.
It's like, oh my God, holy mother macaroni. Oh yeah, Cher, Pink, Khloe, everybody has fabulous style, goes to Martin Blood.
And we see his style and it is good. I mean, it is good.
It is really
And there
good.
Were some, there's been some questionable times of Martin over the years where I'm like, are you here, Martin? Are you even here? But God, the stuff we're seeing in these pictures.
It looks gorgeous, great. Gorgeous stuff. He's so good. So he's like, well, obviously a lady with good taste. And she says,
well, I think so. And you know what? I lost a lot of taste, meaning I lost a lot. I lost a lot of my stuff. I lost my entire home. I lost my furniture. And what you see in front of you is literally what I was left with in the middle of the night. So I lost a lot. Okay. He's like,
well, I can't really see what's in front of me because I'm shielding my eyes from the depravity in front of me. It's awful. Going back to Robertson Boulevard. So you lost your taste, eh? Was this before or after you filmed those hideous music videos on the YouTube?
Yeah, my old home was absolutely beautiful. Everything was perfectly done, down to the T. This place I'm living in was my Hail Mary pass, but it's time to start living again. You know, I was so depressed here in this perfectly reasonably sized three-bedroom house with a pool and a cabana. I thought, how could I ever find the will to live? But I decided, you know what? I'm going to make it happen. It might be a tiny shoebox of a luxury home, but I'll make it happen, goddammit.
I just love that she talks about this house like it's such a shithole. But she's like,
but my place in Pasadena, now that was chic.
That was not chic. That looked like the inside of Liberace's asshole. What are you talking about?
It was so stuck in like 1947. I mean, it was beautiful in its own way, but like, especially given what her whole persona is, I mean, it never really made sense how she was like Erica Jane and then she'd go home and be like prim and proper. So it's just funny that she's kind of like pining for the days of that mansion and its vibe.
Yes.
So she's like, well, the point here is it's this chic little space. It needs to be freedom. It needs to be style. It needs to be sexiness. It needs to be a new beginning. It needs to be diamond earrings. You're not touching these things, you motherfuckers. So back off.
Would you say it needs to be fresh and easy? God, RIP, my favorite grocery store. One of the only places you can go in Los Angeles and get a bell pepper wrapped in plastic.
Not spicy.
Heaven.
So he starts, he's like, well, first we have to, we're just going to cleanse the space a little bit. It smells of small and poor. So hold on one moment. So he starts spritzing, which I think is good that he's spritzing instead of burning sage.
Sorry, I'm trying to get rid of the dirty.
I feel like I heard something, and this is totally unverified. I heard that because of so many like Grace Lily types that are smudging with sage that don't really know what they're... they're doing. There's actually like a sage shortage, and that people who you know, sage smudging is basically appropriated from like indigenous ceremonies, and people who actually use it with like any meaning basically are like, they're actually having shortages of sage because of idiots. So if this is true, it could all be false, by the way. This, I could have just repeated something that's totally unverified. But if it's true, good for Martin Lawrence for Ballard for spritzing the air instead of saging it. That's how you build back.
This is for you, indigenous.
Now that is our first step towards countering extreme weather.
This is our first step. This is our first step to healing the world, you guys. So he puts some flowers on the table and he's like, oh, no, he just walks up to a vase that's got flowers on a table and he goes, this, we can't have stuff like this. You need beautiful things. What? It's a perfectly beautiful, fresh flower eraser. He's like, ew, disgusting. No. You're Erica Jane. This isn't right.
I wasn't talking about the vase. I was talking about Erica. You'll have to leave the house now.
Please move that statue.
That's Lyle. That's my assistant.
Disgusting. Go. Psh, psh.
You know, I'm reminded how shitty my life was. Yeah. In famed, affluent neighborhood, Hancock Park. Nah, no. God, it's been hard. Oh, by the way, here's the bathroom.
Wow, did somebody have a burrito last night? P.U.'s. Let's swap out this spritzer for some Lysol, am I right?
So she goes into the bedroom, which I think looks lovely.
Yeah, actually. It looks nice.
And he's like, ooh, are we trying to catch a man? She's like,
several.
And he goes, well, we're not doing it in here. This is the room that really should be your sexy sanctuary. Hello, hold on a minute. Ding dong, boner, are you there? Never again? Well, isn't that a tragedy? You've done this to me.
How about we replace all these beautiful white linens and perfectly nice furnishings with insane patterns and various different depictions of elephants from India? Does that sound good to you? I think all the men will love it.
So it's like, well, yes, this I've seen some of those sexy videos of yours.
And then we see one of her, on her tits! And he's like that.
You can really step ball change, girl, and I emphasize the balls, Matt.
Well, okay, let's go outside. Okay, here we have a cabana. I know, it's embarrassing. Can we wrap this up? I'm about to head to the soup kitchen for lunch.
He's like, oh, wow, look at this. Okay, so you've got some turquoise tile on the floor. That's all right. And, oh, here it is. Look, it's a pool and a perfectly nice sofa. Disgusting. It's very upsetting.
Was he saying that? He was, right?
He was like, oh,
I think he was complaining about the curtain, but the way that they did it, because he yanks open the curtain and then he's like, ooh, let's get rid of that. I can't see that anymore. But they showed the pool and the yard and it's just like, get rid of it, please. I can't see it. Scrim. I need a scrim here, something.
Please, I'm having the vapors. Someone take me back to Interior Illusions on Santa Monica Boulevard. So
very upsetting, but you've got turquoise on the floor. We could get turquoise paint. We could do a whole paint number and just stripe it and make it very Moroccan, you know.
You know, add big turquoise atop pillows to this and some big parish trays and some lanterns. And I don't know, maybe we could just like hire someone from Morocco just to stand there. I don't know. Listen, you could fix this up to your next music video here. I mean, LOL. And you know, there's literally more star power here than anywhere else in the house. So we're going to whip this up. And it'll be great.
And, you know, she just wants to make sure because his plans are starting to sound expensive, you know. So she's like,
well, I'm so glad for you to be here because now you get to go back to your early roots where you get to create with $5.
He's like, who?
Yeah. We may not have $1 million budget, but we will give you $1 billion style.
Here, why don't you prop up my book in the living room, and that will be it, because you can't afford anything else. That is your decor. Congratulations.
I don't know if I've stressed this enough, but paint job. That's what you're getting.
You do pay back your vendors, don't you?
Of course I do.
Then I have them jailed when they try and collect their bills.
Oh, well, sounds delicious. Can't wait to be the next gay on your revenge agenda.
So we go to Sutton's house, and she's getting her hair.
Like, does he not know Marco Marco? Here, that's a question. Do you think Martin Lawrence... I'm going to look it up right now. Let's look up. Marco Marco.
Marco Lawrence Ballard.
Marco Lawrence Ballard. Nope, no matches. So maybe they don't know each other. Who knew? Who knows?
Yeah. By the way, I looked up the sage thing, and there is a headline that says, the current popularity of white sage is causing its extinction on the border of Mexico and the United States.
Yeah, there you go. So Sutton's house, she's getting her hair, and this the way that our note taker, Nadine, wrote this, Sutton House. Which makes me laugh because it just sounds like a place you go to, you know, the Sutton House.
Well, my apartment.
Come in. Yeah, it's a very exclusive club. You come in, I sit you down, and then I say, you wouldn't be mad if you weren't divorced, stupid.
My old apartment building was called Sutton Place.
God. Oh, there you go.
So maybe you're picking up on that. So yeah. Sutton is like, y'all, I am kind of socked tonight. I'm going to the Viper Room for the first time ever. And they're like, girl, wait, this is your first time? I'm shocked, girl. And she's like, yeah, I know. I'm kind of like a real Angelina now.
Fucking glam. I'm so sure. You're the only person in town even pretending to be shocked that Sutton hasn't been to the Viper Room.
I know. Sutton and the Viper Room, two concepts that don't really work well together. Then Garcelle's getting glam done, and she's saying, well, Erica's being honored by the GLAAD Association. It's the Viper Room. Isn't it owned by Johnny Depp? And they're like, I think so. You know, it's funny. I was in Miami at a club, and yeah, I met out with Johnny. Isn't that crazy? So what global superstars have you guys hooked up with?
And one of them's like, oh, my God, you could have had an island, you know, and some other stuff we won't mention here.
You could have been part of some really cringeworthy videos.
Awkward time to be bragging about making out with Johnny Depp. But you know what? We all make choices. I'm just so proud of Erica for being honored by the trash bag company. It's like finally she's like starting to understand. She's understanding her place finally. She's really leaning in.
So then Erica is talking, she's talking to Laya about like her look, and then her phone rings and she goes, oh my God, it's Dorit. Okay. Hey, Dorit, what's going on? Oh, your hair is in a towel wrap also. Twinsies. Yes, yes, we're twinsies. She's like, how are you, honey? I'm only asking this because I want to talk about me now. Can we talk about me?
Oh, don't worry. The night I'm not performing.
And all the glam's like, oh, thank God. Thank Jesus. God. I might not even be there, but my head can still hurt from 10 miles away.
Yes. So then we have a flashback to Erica doing like a walkthrough at the Viper Room with Jaden, who's like part of Posse Pride Party. And Mike is like, obviously, this is our single release moment, not a performance, obviously. I'm like, is that so obvious? You guys are at like a club and there's a stage and there's like, there's a mic and she'll be getting
you're
up on it.
You're at a famous rock venue. He's like, obviously, we're not performing here, bitch. Okay. But it is going to be a celebration for Pride, for Domino's, for everyone who loves pizza on Pride.
I literally thought when you said for Domino's, I was like, is Domino's Pizza sponsoring this single? I didn't realize the single was called
Domino's. Erica's coming for my heart this season. She's working for the trash bag company, and now she's going to stump for Domino's, my favorite fucking place. The worst pizza in the world that I will eat as much as fucking possible.
Yeah.
God, well, I love that place. I love that terrible, terrible place.
Yeah, is there ever truly a bad pizza? I don't think so. So Erica's like,
all right, well, how are you doing? She's like,
well, I'm sort of putting one foot in front of the other. Walking. Have you ever considered it before? What a fun, fun activity.
Sort of like Piquet tried to do, but he kept falling down over and over again. Severe alcoholic, 100% on the nose.
You know, the other day, Piquet said he was putting one foot in front of the other, but he had attached Pringles cans to them and said, look at me, I could be in the circus, I'm on the stilts, and then he fell over. Luckily, he had a giant bowl of popcorn there to break his fall.
Well, you know, I had a nice afternoon with Bose. She came over, she had some good insight, and it definitely got me thinking.
Kyle and PK, are they speaking? Because once upon a time, they definitely Texas. And I don't know if there's anything that I don't know. Do you know if there's anything that I don't know? Is there something that I don't know that you know that I don't know that you know? If you know something that I don't know that's known to other people, but I don't know it, you better know it. Say it now. And Erica's like, oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know shit, all right? I'm just pretending to be your friend here. Can I go?
Clearly some producer is like, okay, well, Kyle told Garcelle, and Garcelle told Sutton, but for some reason, we have not been able to close the loop on this gossip yet, so we're just going to tell Dorit and she can ask around.
Yeah, Sutton is still deciding to be on Team Kyle because Kyle's an alpha to Sutton, and Sutton will always bow to Kyle no matter what. Even when she's like, I'm standing up against Kyle, I've had it with Kyle. She's like, Kyle. The next season, she's like, Kyle, what can I do, Kyle?
Well, you know, I don't know if they're talking right now. I mean, I wouldn't put it past PK. He's the type of person he's going to want to know as much detail about my life that he can get, even though I know zip, zilch, zero, nada, nyet, spaghetti, lasagna, potato, Toyota Camry, about his life.
But isn't the problem that PK doesn't want to know any details about your life? I mean, the guy leaves for like years at a time. And it's kind of sad because she's like, I'm sure he's just asking about me. And then when it comes to it, it's like, he sends me memes.
Well,
not asked about me. Nope. Never mentioned you.
I think he has an ulterior motive. I don't think it's just memes. And if it is just memes, it's just laying the groundwork to start getting like, you know, more like exclusive banter from get stuff out of Kyle. I think it's totally, totally not innocent.
No, I don't think it's innocent either. I just don't think PK gives a fuck. PK seems so checked out, you know? So Dorit's like, well, you know, PK and Kyle have always had a relationship and they've always spoken and sent memes to one another. So if they are having conversations and PK and I are not even talking, any information would be helpful towards me. And she's like, well, that's the perfect night for you to ask, then. There'll be a lot of trash bags and pizza to throw at the bitch.
By the way, how have we never noticed, you know, Ronnie, we talk a lot about how Kyle copies Lisa Vanderpump from tiny horses to swings to loving dogs. How have we not noticed that she's even copied Lisa Vanderpump in being closer with PK than she is with Dorit?
That's true.
She fully copied that move.
Yeah. So now arrivals at Sutton's home. So Jennifer Tilly comes in. She's like, Sutton,
oh, hello, you fabulous dogs. So good to see you. How are you?
She just goes, and it's such a, by the way, it's such a brilliant shot because they just hold back. They hold back like wide as she goes around the corner. And then you hear her go, and then she comes right back into shot.
Just sparkles. Oh, you're so sparkly. And she goes, well, I never sparkle. We are so in sync. You look gorgeous.
So they go to, now we go to the Viper room and people are at the step and repeat. And Kyle shows up with Kesha, of all people. And Kyle's like, yeah, Kesha and I met on Instagram and she was following me and then we DM'd each other and now she's here with me tonight. So, Kesha is a musician and we're friends. Let the rumors begin.
Oh, yeah. Like those rumors were just everybody making stuff up and not you completely leading us to believe that you were boning Morgan. Give me a break. But also, do you love how she words it? Like, yeah, she was following me. So... Oh, you weren't following her?
I know.
That's an interesting... So, Kyle, the lady who meets everybody on Instagram, you weren't following Kesha and then started stalking her to be your friend? Okay.
Yeah, sure. So, they're doing, like, a step and repeat, and then Sutton and Jennifer Tilly are riding along, and Sutton's like, I'm a bit nervous. She's like, bye. She goes like, well, you know, Bo said to everyone, Sutton, I think you're weaponizing the situation in life right now. And we
get a flashback to that.
Yeah.
And then Jennifer's like, well, I definitely think that you're getting a prickly energy from Bozy. I'm not going to lie about that. She's like, well, is Dorit saying things to Bose to make Bose not like me? Well, here's what I'm going to do to smooth things over. I'm going into this party and I'm going to unleash so many microaggressions. You're not going to believe it. Okay. I'm just going to muddy the waters.
Yeah, seriously. So more step and repeat and people walking in, and Garcelle is like, well, I've been to the Viper Room years and years and years ago. Listen, it's iconic on the Sunset Boulevard. It's very rock and roll. And I think it'll be a fun night, because when you go to a rock and roll venue, don't you always want to go with people like Kyle Richards and Sutton Strack and Dorit Kemsley? Rock and roll.
A bunch of older ladies in sparkly dresses. It's like, what are we doing a version of Follies tonight? Like, what's going on tonight? So Jennifer is like,
oh, my boyfriend and I used to play high-stakes poker back in the back room of the Viper Room, but I've never really been there while it's club night.
I love her. She just has, like, she went to the Viper Room to play high-stakes poker. What? So
she's playing illegal poker in the back room, and
she's like, oh, it's a club.
Never actually went there when there was a club going on. So Kyle's like, well, we all know I'm from this town, Beverly Hills, but I actually never made it to the Viper Room. Yeah, but I made it to every other club in town. Don't you know, like, I practically lived at Bar One, The Gate, Roxbury, The Agency. I hit them all.
I'm sure Kyle made it to the front door of the Viper Room many times.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah.
So then they're, you know, just making small talk and stuff. Then Sutton comes in and they make small talk with her.
By the way.
And then Boza's wearing some crazy bracelet. What were you going to say?
Is there a world in which Kyle, when she's talking about all the clubs she went to, she was just talking about Peter Thomas's Bar One?
One of my favorite things to drink in this town is Peter's Brew.
She's low-key. Peter Thomas Stan. She's visiting him in jail.
Well, she's probably texting him. Cynthia's like, wait a minute.
That's true.
Have you been texting Peter?
It's just memes.
Just memes. A lot of coffee memes.
Well, it's fun to be at a club. It's so good. I love it, says Jennifer Tilly. And now... people are there. Bose shows up and a lot of, oh, hi, hi, hi. And then Kyle gets her finger stuck in Bose's bracelet and it's funny. And then Jennifer is like, is that a bracelet or is that a weapon? And Sun's like, are you weaponizing? We can laugh about this now. By the way, I'm really mad at you, but we can laugh about it right now, even though I'm raging.
Look at how fun I am. Look at what a fun girl's girl I am, bringing up weaponizing. And she's like, I am weaponizing. Yes. Well, don't weaponize against me. I'm going to weaponize against everybody. And she's just not backing down from Sutton, but also like not letting her get away with her joke, which I kind of liked.
Yeah.
And she's like, the bracelet is the least of weapons I got in my arsenal. You ever heard of Bezos?
Sutton doesn't want to strike first. I promise you that. It's the worst decision to make in strategy against me.
So now Dorit comes and the events coordinator asks her for photos. So they do that. And then she's like, who's Booze talking to? And Carl's like, that's Sutton. She goes,
So listen, I had to chat with you, Booze. When we were having our discussion at Kyle's party, I didn't like the word weaponized. She goes,
oh, you didn't like that word?
I didn't.
Well, the reason why I use the word weaponize is that when I say that, I mean that you have taken something and fashioned it to hurt somebody else. But it wasn't to hurt her. But it did. I mean, I felt it. I think most people felt it.
She goes, but she's going through a divorce. I mean, I have to kick her when she's down. That's just part of the plan.
And she's like, well, I think in the moment, maybe you were angry. And she's like, I wasn't angry. I was defensive. Okay.
Great.
And it's like, well, I think that if Bose put half the energy into her friendship with me as she did with Dorit, then she would know that this is Dorit's fault. I mean, I just don't get it. And so she's like, now, listen, Bose, you can just speak so eloquently. And I was like,
oh, geez, Sutton.
Can you just make it one episode? Seriously.
Yeah.
With a black cast member without, like, Sutton.
But I'm learning, and I, you know, I do have a wide vocabulary.
Yes, you do, and I think you are super smart with it, which actually makes you dangerous. Look at you being the one who's weaponized now.
Oh, what? Oh, what? Damn it. She's so good.
So she's like, yeah, this chick seems peaceful, but there's another side to her, and I don't know if she's DeLulu or if she's mean and calculating. Will the real Slim Sutton stand up? Oh, yeah. Burn it. Print it.
Well, I am not dangerous. Will I call the cops on people? Perhaps. But I'm not dangerous, generally speaking. She's like, you are dangerous. So then Kyle's like, hey, everyone, this is Kesha. She's famous. Yeah, she sings a song called TikTok. She kind of invented that whole platform. Yeah, she's the original TikToker. Come on, everyone. I'm friends with the famous person. So, yeah.
Oh, how are you? I'm such a fan of yours. You're so fabulous.
It's so cute watching Jennifer Tilly, who's an Oscar nominee, who owns part of The Simpsons, who's also like a high-stakes poker player, is just like effortlessly amazing, fanning out over Kesha. She's standing there with this smile on her face, like, here is Kesha. It's pop sensation Kesha. This is so exciting. Like, it's so, I love her so much.
So then Erica comes and, you know, she does some photos and all of that. And she comes by to check on the ladies in her hostess mode, swinging around that ponytail. And it's like, all right, ladies, it's a fun night tonight. Nothing more than it's a pride party. Having a good time. All right, all right, all right, all right.
So then Marley and Jaden go on the stage and they're like, welcome to Posse Pride. Are you ready to party? Are you ready to watch someone stand a little bit higher than you while you all listen to the same song, because that's about to happen. And if you heard, then Jaden's like, if you heard, our pop icon Miss Erica Jane has a new single. Erica, get on up here.
And she's like, all right, everybody, I've got a new song. It's called Dominoes, and here it goes. Pizza tracker, pizza tracker, tracking my pizza and my pussy. It's my pizza tracker, pizza tracker, pizza and my pussy. Thank you, thank you. Domino, 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 domino. That's the chorus, everybody. Sing along. Domino, 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 domino. Pizza tracker, pussy tracker, pizza tracker, pussy tracker. Thank you, thank you, everybody.
Domino's, motherfucker. So it was just so strange. Like, I know about, like, you know, single release parties and everything, but it was weird that she, like, normally you would think that she would, like, get off the stage and let people listen, but she's just up there like, all right, come on. Hey, everybody, come on. All right. I'm like, why don't you just sing it? You're on the stage. You're holding the mic. You are in front of the audience. Sing the song.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, I love when she talks like she's Meryl Streep returning to Broadway. She's like, you know, I've never taken the stage for granted. Okay, lady, mouthing words at the Viper Room on an off night.
I know, literally taking it for granted.
I've never taken it for granted. Certainly after going through the hardest time in my life. But I'm an artist who refuses to change her style or look or music in 10 years.
I'm just like Picasso.
So people are like, oh my God, that's amazing. And Jennifer Tilly goes,
Domino, Domino, I don't think it's gonna win any awards for music, but it's catchy.
And then Erica's like, thank you all so much, thank you. And so they're like, wow, that was great. So Dorit's like, it's so nice seeing Erica on that stage, not singing her song after coming back from such a dark, dark place known as the bathroom here. It's very poorly lit. It gives me a sense of inspiration.
To see that Erica can still press play on an iPod after going through what she's gone through. Really, really something.
There is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's a bit of a sad light, but it is light all the same.
Or as PK used to say, there is light at the end of this funnel. And he would hold up his funnel cake, bend backwards, and swallow it whole.
And I said, that's not light. That's just whipped cream you got on your eyelids.
But it's light whipped cream, babe.
So Kyle is like laughing about how, like, we got the bad girls and the sparkles. And because half the girls are in sparkles and half are in leather. And it's like funny. And then Dorit is like, Kyle. PK is in a very unpredictable state of mind, being that he's a severe alcoholic doing alcoholic things. He doesn't join Alcoholics Anonymous. He's joined Alcoholics Let's Do This. And I'm on a real high alert because when he's like this, I don't know what the hell he can do.
And Erica's like, oh my God, it's happening right here. The biggest fight of the century.
And I was wondering and curious if you're speaking to him or if you have spoken to him. And Carl's like, how do I answer this?
Carl's the worst liar.
The worst. In the
world. And she's like,
liar.
Well, my friendship with BK is like memes and jokes. And, you know, he doesn't share anything about your relationship or anything that's going on. Like, we don't talk like that. It's literally just memes and jokes and things like that. You know, that's it. Memes. Pepe the Frog. Hilarious stuff.
But still, even now,
have I gotten a meme from him in a while? Maybe within the last week. Kyle, just because you're saying it slower does not mean it makes it any better. Maybe in the last week I got maybe a meme in like a, is Dorit planning on doing something with litigation? I don't know, something like that. I don't know, it's pretty light stuff.
Yeah, and she knows she's caught, but she's just so bad at that. And she's like looking all over the room too, you know. And so then Dorit's like, it's not even that Coil has been communicating with Piquet since our separation. It's that you're texting my husband when you and I aren't talking and when we're not good. It's just not okay.
And she's saying, you know, it's different now. And it's something I would expect that you would share it with me. And Kyle's like, well, if it ever got to the point where you guys weren't getting along, like, I mean, even if we were in a bad situation, like, obviously, I'm a girl's girl. I mean, look at all the girls I've been so kind to on this show. Denise, Lisa, Kim, you know, line them up.
Yeah, obviously, she's a girl's girl. Everyone knows that about Kyle Richards.
And she's like, but you know we were not getting along. We're separated. We're not getting along, Kyle. She goes, well, PK's not telling me that. Like, that you guys aren't getting along. Like, I didn't know that.
You don't have to know anything. You just have to know that your girlfriend is getting a divorce and you're still texting with the ex. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle's smart move here would be to say, you know, I've always been really close with PK. And so I wasn't really sure what to do in this situation. And if you're uncomfortable with me, like,
but you know what,
you like, know, texting him, I totally understand that. And I'll stop doing that immediately. But to be like, like, whatever, like, duh, like, who cares? And they're right, because everybody's like, yeah, if Dorit was texting Mauricio, Kyle would lose her shit.
Shit. But also, Kyle can't have it both ways. She can't go on to the reunion and say, we don't really have much of a friendship. I think we had dinner with them like once or twice. But then this season, it's like, well, we send memes and we were just like close like that. But that's okay. Isn't it funny? I'm closer with PK than I am with Dorit. So like, you clearly have enough of a friendship that you're sending memes. Like, I don't just like send memes to an acquaintance, right? So she's caught in all her lies.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, PK and I aren't good, and he's making my life difficult. And Garcelle goes, how is he doing that?
She's like, well, loss of communication. And when you have two small children, one of whom is a future ballet star, and you're separated, and you're trying to shield them. And then Sal's like, well, you can't shield the children forever. And she goes, oh, you can't shield the children forever? I don't plan to shield them forever, son. You fucking bitch weaponizing my children against them. Why would you do the lowest part of my life?
Well, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying, you don't shield your children. You use your children as shields. Okay? I mean, look at my daughter. You think there's not a reason she looks terrified every time you see her? Okay? It's because she's a shield. Okay? It's what children are made for. Now, put them in front of you and take those bullets, girl.
Oh, do not touch the kids. Do not. Hands off the kids. I think Sutton is coming from a good place. But those are her kids, and she can do whatever she wants with them.
And so she, you know, Sutton's, of course, defensive immediately, you know, even though she was just the one who kind of threw a barb.
Yeah. Know?
And she's like, don't get mad at me. And Dorit's like, pretty strong statement. Pretty strong. So she's like, well, I'm just saying. And we had this conversation on the boat. She goes, oh, the same conversation where you said, lean on me when you're not strong. And she's like, well, yeah. Yeah, that one. And so we see a flashback to that. And Sutton's like, I'm just telling you, I meant what I said, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. She goes, oh, so judging by yours, she goes, oh, you know what? It's up to you. What have I done to you ever? What have I done to you?
Sutton just loses her shit for no reason. Sutton, if you don't want someone getting mad at you, stop making shitty comments where they're trying to have a conversation. Why are you trying to stand up for Kyle anyway? Back off, Sutton.
Well, I think you insulted her and made her feel low at Kyle's party.
And then we see the whole you're angry at your life thing. And Sutton's like, well, her life is bad and she's angry and I've been there and I was defending her by reminding her how shitty her life is. It's probably her own fault. And Dorit's like, how am I supposed to believe that? It doesn't matter, Dorit. If I didn't say I want to be the first person that you call. I said, if you call, I will be there for you at a certain time. Maybe I won't take your call, but at some point I'll have Avi send you over a cookie or something. And I'll be like, I'm here for you. That's all I said.
But why would I call the person? It's been kicking me while I'm down. It's like, oh, just forget it. Just forget it.
Then forget it. Then forget it. And I won't be there for you. Forget it.
Erica's like, I told you the sisterhood, the openness, the honesty, it's all bullshit right here in front of you. I told you so.
We aren't friends, and I forget it. You know what? I'll be cordial. I'll be cordial with you, Dorit, okay? And she goes, there you go then. And Kyle goes, why don't we start the cordial part right now? Ding! Oh my God. It's this little girl standing in front of a burning building, but she's smiling. I'm sorry. What were we saying?
So I was like, well, here's the cordiality because we are not friends. I got it. She's like, can we go back for a minute then? Because I was kind of having a scene and I wasn't in this episode at all. And I got my lips done for this scene. So come on. Can we just like finish up on what we were saying? And so I was like, yes, yes. Yeah. Go talk to your friend. Go talk to her. Go talk to Kyle, your real friend.
So Kyle's like, I just want to say, like, obviously, regardless of our situation, and I do feel like we've made a lot of progress, you know, in the whole, you know, still not calling you thing, which I'm still not. But like in the past year, like if it bothered you that PK and I sent memes, like I would have never done it. And Bose is like, well, when I heard it, I definitely was like, oh, shit, that's a breaking of girl code.
Yeah, but she always laughed about it before. Like, you know, we were always like laughed about, you know, like me and PK sending memes to each other. Well,
yeah, before she was breaking up with PK, Kyle. What the fuck?
Use some common sense. So Garcelle's like, would you have a problem if your man texted you while getting a divorce?
And Erica goes, I've never done that. I've never done it. I've never done it. And Garcelle's like, well, would you have a problem? And Jennifer's like, I would. So, yeah. Of course she would.
Everyone,
you
know, would.
And so Sutton's like, well, if I found my friend communicating with my ex, I'm calling that friend and I'm saying, what are you doing? Because that is not okay. Ding! Oh my God. This is Taylor Armstrong screaming and crying and fighting with the cat. This is crazy. I'm sorry, you guys. What were we talking about?
Well, if it bothers you, even the memes, I don't need to do that. She's like saying it like, okay, if you're going to be like the irrational, crazy person here, if you're so sensitive, then I'll stop. And Kyle's like, where did this come from? We already made up and I felt really good about our friendship. And now she has to go dig this up so she can have something. Are you kidding me, Dorit? She's not doing it so she can have something. She's doing this because she suspects accurately that you're talking to PK, and the fact that you guys have made up and that you still don't see the issues with crossing those boundaries and not like shutting up. And like, do you really need to send memes to PK? Aren't there other people you can send memes to, Kyle? Really? Why are you acting like Dorit is the crazy one in this situation?
Yeah. It's Kyle. Kyle's a dick. So, and I'm really going to be honest, PK's been a better friend than me lately. He's been a better friend to me than Dorit has lately. You know what? And just insert a picture of Eddie Murphy tapping his temple lightly. There, I said it.
So Dorit is like, clearly, even if you and I were in a bad place, just the fact that you text him, feel comfortable to just text him is crazy. And she's like, well, I would expect people to text Mo and me when we got separated. Oh, come on, Kyle. Come on. I want someone to come out of the woodwork. Someone who texted Mauricio and see how Kyle iced them out. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I wouldn't feel comfortable sending a Mo a text and not you. She's like, I'm done. I'm done. I am done.
Let's also not forget that Dorit said like one thing at a reunion, slightly in defense of Kathy Hilton, like took up on Kathy's side just in the slightest way. And Kyle stopped talking to her for like 6 to 9 months and then downgraded their friendship eternally. And now she's acting like, oh, yeah, if anyone were to text Mo, like, I would fully expect that. Absolutely not, Kyle.
Yeah, and so Dorit's like, well, you need to be very clear, Kyle. I need clarity. And Kyle's like, okay. And she's like waving her finger around, mocking Dorit and like losing her temper, and her veins are popping out. You know, she's doing the Kyle. And she goes, what does that mean? I'm done. She goes, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I've tried to fix you. I've tried to fix this with you, and I've tried. And, okay, you know what? You're so fucking bitter, Dorit. And she's like, bitter? I'm asking you not to speak while your veins are popping out of your forehead. Please.
I apologize, and I said to you I will not talk to him again. What more do you fucking want from you? From me? She goes, I want you to stop fucking raising your voice at me.
And she goes at her. She's like, starts screaming at her over the table. They're like, whoa, 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 like pulling her apart. It's like, you didn't get to scream, fuck you. And Kyle's like, oh, just shut up, Dorit. Just shut up. Oh my God, look at this one. It's a cat hanging from a tree that says, hang in there. Take that, bitch.
And that was the end of the episode, because we hear then, like, we hear a glass break. And then it says, to be continued. So what will happen? Love the way that Dorit stood up to Kyle, didn't take any of her bullshit. Was not like, okay, I understand, but please going forward, stop. You know, she just was like, you're being a bad fucking friend. And I like that everyone told Kyle too. And I love the way that Kyle tried to worm out of it and totally failed at it. It's a failing season for Kyle.
Yeah. Fun times. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Go grab tickets for our first shows in San Francisco and San Diego and Denver and Salt Lake City. And also the Golden Crappies, which are coming up February 1st. Go grab tickets over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Come to Patreon for Traders Recaps and all of that good stuff. And go vote on Instagram for the prelim Crappies round. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Ringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, my favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.